you going? Where will I go?
I'll go.
You go.
Right. Yeah. Hello
What?
and welcome back to Provincial State of Mind. You said I should go.
No, I did, but I just thought you, I didn't know you were going to do a countdown again. I thought you were just going to go. We're in now.
We're in now. May as well keep going. This is hard. We should give Owen a raise.
Owen deserves more money than he's getting off us.
Yes, he does. I mean, anything would be more than nothing, but
True.
he deserves
Deserves more respect. The zebra
more
of the
respect. We'll
group.
pay him. We will pay him in respect
That's it. We will we'll read the script.
and rugby values. That's what we pay him in.
That's it.
Is that what it's all about?
If anything, that's too much.
Yeah, he's been overpaid now, actually. Getting going to his head. Too much rugby values. Share a beer after the game.
Did you hear the news about Owen?
I did
Well,
not.
his past has caught up with him. He texts me.
Usually that's me, but
Text yeah, it is usually, but he texts me Monday, and he said, "Jeff, can you Revolut me?" And I said, "Sure, yeah. You know, how much do you need?" And he said, "I need 10 grand." I said, "Sorry, Owen." He said, "I need 10 grand. My enemies are after me." And I was like, "Hang on, I've heard this before." And I couldn't remember where I've heard it. And I just kind of played him off for a minute. I was like, yeah, just give me 2 minutes, give me 2 minutes. And I Googled it. I was like, Google transfer money, my enemies are after me. Do you remember the Tinder swindler? Is it the Tinder swindler?
Tinder Swindler, yeah.
Turns out it's Owen. Netflix got
Oh,
it.
do you know
Netflix
what?
got it wrong.
I had a fucking feeling.
Yeah. He's just
I
playing the
always
long
knew.
game. Playing the long game.
Even when it was that other guy, I knew it was on.
Yeah, even when I knew it was
Just had
him, I knew it was Owen.
I just had a feeling. Just had a feeling that it was on.
Yeah, so I said, "Listen, sorry, my Revolut's down at the moment." He hasn't spoken to me since. That was Monday. Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
He's not on this podcast. I think he's worried I found him out and outed him.
Yeah, and his WhatsApp username is after being changed over to the Viper, so I'm not really sure what's going on there at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And I think, like, all this talk of the child fighting ring, I think that was just a cover, not a great one, because still highly
It still
illegal.
raises a few questions.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
I don't know if he thought it was less illegal,
I knew it.
maybe, than swindling people out of money, but.
I fucking knew it. I knew it. It's mis and usually it's me swindling people out of money,
Yeah, I
but
remember
he's outdone me here.
when you texted me 2 weeks ago saying, "Can you Revolut me 10 grand?" I knew it was genuine. Just wanted 10 grand.
And you sent it, to be
I
fair.
did. Listen, I'm
To be
sound.
fair, you sent it.
I am nothing if not sound.
And look, the business is gonna work.
I don't know. Use
It's
toilets.
a new po
I don't see the demand.
it's cheaper than getting a new toilet. And look, the stains that are there. Is that a crack? Don't think about it. They're 50 quid. Install them yourselves, though.
Yeah, we don't offer
You know, did I tell you I actually did break the toilet at home here? Actually did break
do
it.
we want to know the story?
It's not like that. Not like I had a curry.
Oh God, move on, move on, move
I
on, move on.
was I was sick, right? So I came downstairs and I wasn't, this is nothing to do, nothing disgusting, right? Now, the old toilet that we had, the ball cock in it would stop working every now and then. So you have to lift up the lid and then refix it on and then the toilet would flush. So I wasn't feeling very well. So I kind of get up without my glasses, right? So I get up and I was like, oh, it's not flushing. Oh, fuck. So I had to lift up the lid and put it down on the toilet seat.
Oh,
Now, typically I would put it up on the windowsill, but because I wasn't feeling well, I wasn't thinking straight. So next thing anyway, it slips into the toilet, into the cistern. And I'm like, I thought no more of it. I was just like, back on you go. So I come down an hour later and herself was just like, so you're going to tell me that you broke the toilet? I was like, what?
This is news to me as well.
There was a massive crack in it, but I couldn't see because I didn't have my glasses on.
Oh
So
yeah, okay.
there was water all over the fucking floor and everything. I was just like, oh my God. Never felt as guilty. Like, who breaks a toilet?
Yeah,
Like,
especially
that's like,
like who smashes the toilet, like. and then walks away from it.
The doziest way possible. I was like, oh, blundered up back to bed then like a fucking idiot.
And just walk away from it. Not my problem. It's like when, do you know when you close a press and you hear something fall and you're like, that's whoever opens that press's next problem. Like, that's not my problem. That's the next person's problem. It's like Schrodinger's press. You're like, is there a problem? Is there not? I'll never know.
I'll never know that whoever's opening that. And if somebody asks me to get something out of there, I'm just not going to do it. Get it yourself.
No, I don't think it's in there. I think it's somewhere else.
But like, I was there. I was like, how much does a toilet cost? Because I had no idea. Like, how much does a toilet cost? So I was just like, fuck it, we're looking at 500, 600 euro, are we? And she was like, what kind of fucking toilet were you thinking of buying?
I could tell you right now, you could give me any price for a toilet and I'd be like, yeah.
Generally, a normal toilet is around 100 euro.
Oh, is that all?
Right. So I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, phew, fuck, thank God. So, but installing it's another problem though, because we got her uncle to install it for us. And I was standing around like a spare prick because I felt like I had to, do you know?
I know the feeling, yeah. I am also used
to assist.
Yeah.
So I'm there kind of like, yeah. And he's like, could you hand me this, that, or the other? And I'm like, yeah. What's that now? What's that? What the tube there, is it? Tube? And he was just like, is that, because he basically asked, is that bolted into the ground or is it there with a kind of a fix, you know, that little plastic stuff that you can spray on or, you know, you squeeze onto around the side of it. And I'm just like, I have no idea. Is it bonded to the tiles? I couldn't tell you.
For all I know, they could have built the house around it. For all I know, I have no idea.
All I know is how to break these things now. That's all I know how to do. Fucking just, and it took so long as well. And but again, it's like, I'll never do it again now. But I won't have to because the toilet works properly now. So in a way, because the toilet was broken before I got here.
Did you fix the toilet? In a way,
I actually fixed it in a roundabout way.
Inadvertently,
I created a scenario where it could be fixed. I inspired change at the toilet.
Did I cause a problem or did I inspire a solution?
I inspired the solution.
I'm just going to use that for now.
Oh, God. What did you do for the weekend?
What did it say? Today is Thursday. I don't know what I did at the weekend.
I don't know what I did. I only asked you because I couldn't remember what I did.
It's bad enough.
What did I do?
Wednesday recordings are hard enough to remember. What I will say is I had a moment today where I felt like an awful human being because I got a coffee this morning. Do you know when you have like an hour off in the day and it's a surprise hour and you're just like, oh, I didn't bank on having an hour off today. So what I did was, this was like 8 o'clock this morning. I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll get a coffee on the way into work, whatever. I can afford to stop. I have the time, etc. Tom, your man and in the coffee shop could not have been nicer to me. And that was my issue.
Oh, he was like being too fucking chatty and stuff like that.
It was like, good morning. How are you this morning? It's very early in the day to know how I'm going to be. Number one, I don't know. But even like as it went on, like, you know, I was like, oh, I think I have a free coffee there because of the, you know, the loyalty taps or whatever, like the stamps.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, so I was like, oh, I think I have a free one there just when I'm going to pay for it. And he was like, oh, that's fantastic. I was like, it's very early in the day to be using that word. And like, I left. He couldn't have been nicer to me. Like, genuinely couldn't have been nicer, but it was too much. And as I sat in the car, I was like, am I the problem? No. He's too nice.
Oh, and like, but as I was dealing with some chatty fucker like that now, it's like,
so nice.
Stop.
So nice. But I was a bit like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Like,
yeah, it's like, you want a best friend, buddy? Don't be talking to me.
It's not me. I'm not the man you're looking for, I'm afraid. But I felt a bit guilty about that.
I'm here to kill time.
I also got very angry I didn't get very angry. But like, I also got annoyed last night. A fella came knocking at the door looking to sell stuff door to door. And like, I kind of had told him twice, like, no, I'm okay, thanks. And then he was like, oh, I see, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, listen, I don't want it. And then he made a third attempt. And at this stage, like, I had a toddler kind of shouting like, who is it? Who is it? I had a dog barking in the background. I had dinner cooking, whatever. And I just kind of leaned in and I was like, I'm going to tell you one more time. I don't want anything. Go away. And your mom is like, okay, sorry. I said, fucking, like, I appreciate that you're trying to make a business, like, but I've told you three times on my own doorstep, I don't want it. Please take the hint.
I don't want to fucking talk to you.
Yeah, I think it was selling dog food as well. Don't even have a dog.
Herself sends me out to deal with people at the door. So I can just be very blunt.
Yeah, I feel so awkward doing it though. I'm always like, I appreciate.
I've no problem with it now.
I appreciate that you're trying to make a business or trying to work, but please go away.
I'm old and I'm fucking cranky.
I'm set in my ways.
So I don't mind.
You will not change my mind.
So this fucking rugby shit, what's happening? Right,
let's go. There's games on this weekend and there was games on last weekend.
Yeah. We should probably talk about the Ulster Munster game.
We should probably talk about all the games.
Probably. Because do we have time? Knowing that we've both, before we were doing this, kind of going, let's fucking smash this out.
I didn't even say hello to you. You came onto the record and I said, I'm just going to start this. Hence our fantastic intro into this week.
Let's fucking go.
Right. Last week. What do you reckon? We start with Ulster Munster?
The Munster-Ulster game?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll start with that.
That hurt. Depending who you support, of course. But
yeah. Poor performance. Poor performance for the most part. There was one or two bright little sparks in the game, all right. I thought we started well, but overall I just think that's just gifted too many mistakes back to Ulster and they took really good advantage of it. And when Ulster get momentum in the Kingspan, very, very tough to stop. Very tough to stop. And you know, regardless of, you know, a few of the cribs that Munster might have with some of the decisions at the breakdown, I just think their big takeaway will be not aggressive enough, not accurate enough. Intensity wasn't there around the breakdown. And then, you know, poor decisions made during face play. Like there was a moment there towards the end where I think Antoine Freesh had an opportunity to put Ben O'Connor one-on-one with Jake Flannery inside the 22. I went for a long sling pass out to Rory Scanlon on the wing where like the pass kind of slowed down the play, if that makes sense, and it brought the touchline and Robert Balakoon into the game. Just inaccurate, just that kind of stuff. It was poor. And I mean, you look at how the scrum kind of fell apart a bit towards the end. And you know, I think that some of the news that broke today, I think, might be of relevance there as well. It just felt that when John Ryan went off, when Edwin Adogbo went off, all of a sudden the kind of the parity or maybe more that we had in the game started to dip, and then Ulster brings on Henderson, Dave Ewers, and all of a sudden Munster on the back foot fairly consistently. It was ultimately quite disappointing because I felt that the game should have been won. Like, I mean, 14-3 up in the first, 15-20 minutes?
Yeah.
And that's like a tough one to let slip.
I think last week we said the same, like Ulster were, 17 points up and let that slip. And if we're being critical of that, well, being 11 points up after 18 minutes.
Like something like that. Can't let that slip.
Yeah. No, it was, and that's the thing. Like afterwards, like seeing a few people moan and have a few, you know, a few gripes against the refereeing or whatever. Like the referee didn't stop us scoring 62 minutes. Like, you know, it's
refereeing wasn't great, but at the same time,
no, not the
like,
problem.
That doesn't mean that doesn't mean that Munster weren't poor either. Like, you know, I think the two things are like, they're not really connected. Do you know what I mean? Because like an efficient Munster performance, regardless of what the refereeing would be like, would still win that game or should have 11 points up. You know, that's a bit of a red herring. I think, there were a few weird decisions, but I mean, I think you get that over the course of a season. You just have to hope it balances out, whatever. But that was not why Munster lost. Munster were too inaccurate. Physicality wasn't there, especially at the breakdown. Intensity wasn't what it needed to be.
No, and it's funny how you dropped the words red herring in there, because Rob Herring became the most capped Ulster player of all time, which is unbelievable.
You know, for a guy who came in relatively late,
unbelievable.
Like Ulster.
Yeah.
Some achievement. So durable.
And like when we just seems to be synonymous when we recorded the pod there last week, like I didn't know that was happening. I full on didn't know. Like
I got no idea. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't have. I would have assumed that. Well, no, that's hundreds of caps away yet, right?
Yeah,
but I like he's been there.
It was a bit like Keane Prendergast's 50 cap for Connacht there the last day. I was just like, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I was just like, he's on 50 already. Like he only got his debut 3 weeks ago. Like it's
it's like it's the passage of time.
But yeah, no, that game, if you're an Ulster fan, congratulations. It was a good win. Like they were very, very good indeed. Very good indeed.
Most disappointing thing for me was the scrum that ultimately won Ulster the game.
Line out failing hurt as well.
Yeah, that was that sucked. Yeah.
It's not a one off.
That's been not a once off. No. What I hate? I've spoken about it, that I hate it on this show a good number of times. Those multiple cutouts at the line out where you've got jump feints, guys cutting out of the line and then throwing it to the tail and then missing. How many times did that happen in this game? I hate it. It rarely works. And it's like whenever I see Munster doing that, I'm like, we're under pressure here to be bringing out this madness.
Yeah.
It's like, that was the kind of stuff I'm looking at where I'm like, you know, you bring Scott Buckley on and the first call that we use is this, what were one of the first ones, first or second. And in Ravenhill, right? Crowder on his back. There's pressure's on. And you're just like, you're having the lads sit there on or stand there on the line for 5 seconds while there's lads are fucking jumping in and out. And
get ready, jump.
Like he's going to overthrow it. Like, it's like, it's going to happen. It just feels sometimes that, look, it can't be ridiculously simple, but I feel sometimes we make it a little bit too complex in the lineout. And it's synonymous with bad performances. And look, sometimes maybe we're playing around lack of size to a certain extent. Like this wasn't our biggest back five by any means. But yeah, I just think that that particular menu could do with being simplified. Like sometimes you don't need to have like gold shavings on top of your burger. Just get rid of the gold shavings. They're hard enough to do. It's expensive. Just go with the burger. The burger is fine. And that's kind of like the big takeaway I had from it. Like, but the scrummaging when John Ryan went off was not great.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, probably that signing today then offers an insight into the thinking there, I suppose, too.
It does, because like it just felt that Stephen Archer, and I was watching back a number of games today, and I just felt that Stephen Archer has been kind of under pressure in the scrum against Benetton. And then again against Ulster off the bench. And I think that's, you know, there's a need to get a little bit more size into that front row. And, you know, that's been addressed, I think, today.
Yeah, and a 3.5-year deal as well for Ollie Yeager. Like, it's a good long deal. I was only thinking...
That rarely happens.
I was only thinking in the car on the way down. Like, I know Doak got a 4-year deal with Ulster.
That's a young player kind of looking to try and,
I know build Prendergast was on a deal that got extended, but I don't know. I can't remember the time frame there. But again, young player, etc. Like... Jaeger's been at this a while, and to come into a 3.5-year deal, like even if it was 2.5, you'd be like, okay, end of this season, you know,
2 years,
hit the bootstraps 2 seasons, yeah, but like 3.5,
and it's like this season, it's essentially a 4-year deal,
yeah. This season's 5 rounds, he'd be here in December, isn't it?
Start of December,
yeah. So you still have a good half a season, you're good 6 months odd, like.
Yeah, it's notable in that it doesn't really happen all that often. And it's like that in itself is kind of going, oh, a fucking 3.5-year deal. Like, wow, like that, because that would have to be signed off at IRFU level as well by David Nusafora, or, you know, if there's a bit of a handover period there with David Humphreys or whatever else. So like there must be a bit of thinking there in that, well, Jaeger for, you know, age 28, 29, 30, 31, could be a guy who they see as being a big value for, you know, coming up to the next World Cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving us a little bit more options there nationally. Because it feels like Jaeger's been that guy, almost like cash under the mattress, you know, where he's always in New Zealand, but like, oh, it's inevitable he'll come back, do you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it ever was. Like, for a while there, it looked like, you know, that the All Blacks might come calling. But yeah, no, it's an interesting signing, and I think that it's especially interesting that it's happening now, that it's happening in, you know, 2 weeks. Because it straight away improves Munster's tight five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a bit more dynamic too then as well around the park. Connacht.
Yeah, because
one thing you might
say about him is that, look, we have to see elements of his power, how it translates from Super Rugby up here. Same with the scrummaging. Like, I think looking at his scrummaging actually looks really technically really good. I mean, he was coached by Jason Ryan for years, so I don't see that being a big weakness in his game. But his work around the field, like his handling, other bits and pieces like that, I mean, that should be top drawer. Yeah. I mean, because again,
Munster doing really well to get two IQ props from New Zealand, just like that. It's really good scouting.
Exactly. Yeah. Because like John Ryan, born in Cork, and to come back up this season, it's like, it's remarkable. But like you look at, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine today, and he was just basically saying, like, whatever you might think about Jaeger with the All Blacks or whatever else, you're not part of that All Black or that Crusader setup for the last 8 years, winning title after title after title, if you're a bluffer.
Yeah, true. Yeah. 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 No, and like last time I met him or last time I saw him was in New Zealand about 6 years ago. Like, and he organized for Seamus Toomey, a fellow who was with us, he organized him to go to the Crusader scrummage session for the day as well. Like, so. I mean, he'll know an awful lot to bring in, which is great, and probably won't get any, how would you say, poor narrative or anything like that from some sections of the media because he's Irish qualified. You'll probably get some people saying like, oh, he wanted to play with the All Blacks, now he's coming back to Ireland, blah, blah, blah. If he's not good enough for them, blah, 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 he shouldn't probably be playing with Ireland, blah, blah, blah. You know, the old paper doesn't refuse ink kind of a thing, but no, I'm looking forward to him coming now. We'll move on. Edinburgh Connacht. Hell of a game.
Good game. Very good
hell
game.
Hell of a game. Connacht. Game of the weekend last week, I feel.
Yeah.
I know Connacht lost.
Connacht really, really unlucky.
I don't know.
Like they'd be maddened. With how the game ended.
I don't know if I'd say unlucky.
They were poor for long stretches. But to come back and be level as they were, and then to fucking lose it in the last, what, five? Like, what, 2 or 3 minutes?
They lost it themselves.
They did. But like, as in, you'd be sick and coming away from it. I'm not sure if maybe unlucky is the wrong word. Like, just sour as fuck at themselves.
Yeah. I think there were 2 minutes, just two more minutes of staying in the moment. It would have left with 2 points.
And what was that? Was it a pass from, was it Blade to back into JJ and the ball was kind of bobbling and he kind of kicked it?
Yeah.
Out, but it had come back in, and it's like your head had been melted looking at that.
Yeah, like it's it like, if you're Pete Wilkins up in the box looking down at that, like you're probably just thinking, clean that up, like just clean it up. Thinking like, I don't even care how you do it, but that just needs to be clean, and you're getting away with two points.
Even the call to pass there to JJ back in, like he wouldn't have kicked it out, like he would have kept that in field. I mean, that's what Connacht do, but like. Even then, I mean, you can work that a little bit longer. Cheese the clock a little bit there. Like, or were they going for the win? Maybe. Like, who knows? But
That's a good question there. Were they going for the win? Because, like, there's a lot of talk about the drop goal, first off, from Ben Healy. And
a lot of nonsense.
Listen, I mean, you can say he had penalty advantage. I didn't actually realize he had penalty advantage till I was told afterwards. But it doesn't actually change my decision on the drop goal at all. Because the way I see it is like he's won the game. He's not like you can say, oh, they could have gone for 5 points instead of four. I'm not being funny. The clock's in the red and you're a coach and you get penalty advantage. You're not
thinking, the win.
You're not thinking there's our fifth try. You're thinking we win the game. And
like even if the penalty advantage, like I think people were saying, oh, well, keep playing.
We'll put it this way. Here's a question. Here's a question for you, right? Keep playing. The penalty advantage probably would have came because of where they were, right? Mm-hmm. Like at that situation, you're probably going to have to score for that penalty advantage to be up, end of, right? If they blow for the penalty, they're taking 3 points.
Absolutely. 100%. Like, yeah, I mean, it was relatively straight in front of the post.
You look at the tries they scored. The three tries they scored. One was an incredible kick receipt, transitioned really well. I think that was their second try. Mm-hmm. Scored a try off that. Their first try, again, was off transition. Was off a last line out, I think. Or was it stolen? Was it stolen somewhere anyway? And it was just passed across the field, transitioned really well. Unbelievable try. Their third try, the 5 meter penalty. Was it 5 meter? It was in around that. It doesn't really matter. And Connacht just switched off. They're thinking, oh, they're going to go for points here. And was it Alcott just came up, boom, tap, go, pass to the wing, try. So if you look
That isn't happening with the clock in the red.
No, but like what no I mean is, off. Sorry, what I was getting at is, if you look at their three tries, it's not a case that they were
mauling Connacht for fun.
That's it, or built it up the field and in red zone territory scored it. They scored three tries off really good transition and really quick thinking. So when they get that, like, I know they're on the five or whatever and they're playing there, but like Connacht's D, bar switching off for those three tries, had been okay in that game. Edinburgh was the one who looked quite porous, but
that's it. And they've got good line out D as well. So you're thinking, how many times have you seen it? Oh. Kick it down the line, maul guaranteed. And then the ball gets knocked on at the line out or some bullshit like that. And all of a sudden you tossed away. This is something that I've seen where people have this new thing now about game management. Came in with Matt Williams with the World Cup, where it can mean anything you want. It's just whatever you didn't do, right? It's proactive hindsight, right? So you're like, okay, oh, he had a drop goal, but you know what? He had a penalty advantage, should have kicked down the line. There was a bonus point there. But what if he, like, that only happens if he misses the drop goal or if he scores a drop goal.
Yeah.
If he misses it, then it's like, it's because he scored it. It's just, it can mean anything you want as a thing to stick it, you know, stick to beat a fellow with.
But what gets me is about the decision and people saying it was the wrong decision. If Edinburgh were 1 point ahead, I'd be like, yeah, that's the wrong decision. Because Connacht aren't going to go coast to coast in this situation. It's the fact you have 2 points, the clock goes into the red, and suddenly you have 4 points. If I'm that coach, I'm not thinking, should have been five. I'm thinking, you little beauty, that's a W.
Thanks for the four fucking points.
Thanks for the 4 points.
It's like, it's 100%. It is mad. It's mad. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think there's this.
And just to back it up as well, like, sorry to cut across you, but like, you think of Edinburgh the last 2 years, they're scrapping for eighth and seventh place. With Glasgow 2 years ago, I think they were in that again last year. I can't really remember.
They were in the conversation. They were thereabouts. Yeah,
but like, I mean, now it's flat out top eight. We've seen over the last 2 years how important, like, or how difficult it is to get into the top eight. Edinburgh get 4 points instead of two, and people are saying no, it should be five. You're like, hang on here, like those 2 points are priceless. Like, and I guarantee, at the end of the season, we'll be looking back on that game and go, look at those 2 points from Edinburgh. Look how important they were.
And like they're also preventing Connacht from getting those points as well. So like they took a point off Connacht also.
Yeah. Yeah. Two-way swing.
And it's like, do you know what? Like it's just that weird thing where people now expect bonus points by default. That if you don't get a big bonus point win, that you've somehow failed. I see that kind of tone around a lot.
But you look at the league, like how competitive it is. The only undefeated team in the league is fifth. That shows how competitive, like the only undefeated team. Like you think, like if you turn around and you said to someone, oh yeah, we haven't lost yet this season. They'd be like, oh, well, you're probably top of the table. No, we're fifth.
No, it's like it's a really compressed league. And like if you get a chance for 4 points rather than two, snatch it. And like the thing is, if he'd missed a drop goal, you go back for the penalty. I think they kicked it three. Win the game, take it fucking handy. Everybody loves this idea of going down the line, which is fine. But when the game's there to be won, because you're currently drawing, take the fucking three.
That's the thing. And I think that's what I suppose people are failing to see. It's not the fact that they could have had five and got four. It's the fact they only had two. They didn't have four to begin with to get five. They had two. You win the game.
Yeah, like you said there, if you're winning by a point, go down the line.
100%.
Because if they turn it over, they're kicking it out more than likely. Or, it's,
or, you can or they it have down, to go coast to know? Coast. Like you trust your D in that situation. But
yeah, but I think, you know, long story short, but I think Connacht will be disappointed with the level of their performance overall. I felt that. They looked a little bit overmatched at times physically, but I think it was their own mistakes on D, their own, like, I think they'll be unhappy with that, you know, the break by Duhan van der Merwe. They'll be unhappy that that got away from them.
Yeah, especially after the transition.
Exactly. They fought back well, I felt, from where they were.
No, they did. But
would have deserved a draw, I felt, on the balance of it.
Yeah.
Had it gone that way. But I don't think they played well enough to have won the game or deserved to have won it, I think. But
that's fair.
Yeah, I think they're actually playing well, though. I like what I'm seeing from Connacht so far this season. But they'll be disappointed with that one because I think they would have backed themselves to win that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, but I think that was a game where you could look at and go, because look, there's some games where you target, some games you don't. I think Connacht would have looked at that and gone, that's something that we can get.
Well, as we said last week, especially the fact with their away three on the bounce, Scotland, Dublin, South Africa, you are probably, like, no offense to Edinburgh, like, but of the three, you're probably looking at Scotland as your winner.
As your points there, yeah, because you're thinking it's going to be very difficult down in South Africa. But at the same time, the Sharks are traveling down there the same time as them. So the travel isn't exactly unbalanced in this one.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Dragons, Leinster. Pretty good.
Boring enough game.
Yeah, pretty good. I only saw, I'd say, maybe half an hour of it, so I can't.
I ended up seeing the entire game, more or less. I felt that Leinster deserved their win. At no point did Dragons deserve to win that game. But I felt that Leinster were still playing somewhat within themselves, where it doesn't seem as fluid as it has in years gone by. I think this Leinster team were 40, 50 points better than this Dragons team.
Yeah.
But didn't translate on the day. And not sure why that is. The weather was bad. It was. But I just felt that this Leinster team is still playing within themselves. And not sure why that is, like I said. But they more than deserved their win. I think it was fairly routine, even though it didn't have the usual kind of fireworks.
That's kind of the half hour I saw was, I suppose it could be summed up with just kind of business-like. Like, you know exactly what's going to happen here.
Like, I feel that Leinster, their attacking work between the 10-meter lines, I think is actually not great at the moment. Where they're not generating a whole ton of line breaks on settled phase play. Look, their post-transition game is really good still. But it feels like a lot of what they do is reliant on penalty, kick into the 22, and then really intense ball carrying around the corner. Low risk of losing the ball, the likes of Boyle, the likes of Scott Penny, even though he came on late. But like all those guys come pouring around the corner, very, very difficult to defend. Opposition committing offside, another penalty, they get another shot. My worry would be, if they don't get those penalties, what are they creating?
And against bigger teams.
Yeah, it's not a massive worry for them. I feel that once they start bringing in more of their personnel, like Dan Sheehan, for example, played really, really well.
His try then these things was will... class. And it's
superhuman stuff.
But it's like a try that, I think it's a try that, like, if I was an underage coach, I would literally just send into the group and I'd be like, just look at his work right here. Like, it's
because when he showed up again, right?
Yeah, I remember
is he doing there?
Yeah, the initial play, I was just like, yeah, okay, that's Dan Sheehan, that's what he does. Like, and when he showed up on that support line, I was like, you freak, how did you get off the ground and get there? Like,
you fucker, you cheeky fucker, that's freaky stuff. Like,
he's so good.
What can you say about it? Like,
he's good,
a very, very good player. But like, you look at
a fabulous player.
He is actually Jimmy, as is Tommy O'Brien. I think that it was a routine enough win. But I just feel that Leinster's attacking work outside the 22 needs a bit of work, and needs a bit of a tweak, we'll say. But the quality they have coming back in can't but improve them there. So we'll see. Big season for Leinster, this, you know, like, it's the first year now where this was Ross Byrne coming back in as the guy running this team, you know, at 10 fully, like,
yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that develops over the season, because it's all new.
Yeah, and new kind of coaches coming in as well, filling that gap. yet to kind of
that's Jacques Nienaber. I want a situation.
I heard he's very good coach.
Very good coach.
That's what I heard.
An excellent ball man. I'm very proud of the ball community.
Yeah. Connacht will be raging. Get him.
They'll be raging. Yeah, yeah, but the thing is, he doesn't have a beard most of the time. So
easy
it's
fix.
Easy fix. Just a few weeks. Just let that razor
maybe,
down, my man.
Maybe he interviewed for Connacht on the day he had shaved. And they were just like,
nah. Get the fuck out of here.
We are no interest in you.
You stupid egg. Get out of here. Get a beer and talk to us again. You fool you.
What was your man? Oh, who threw the elbow to Ross Byrne's head after the kick?
Was it Basham?
Got 2 weeks. Yeah, I don't think it was Basham. Was it?
Appropriately named Tane Basham.
Was it Basham?
Was it? I think it was.
You got 2 weeks anyway.
Or was it Rain? Was it Wainwright? Anyway, one of the two.
It wasn't Wainwright anyway. I know that.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was Basham for sure. Basham.
Got 2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks only?
You only got 2 weeks because he admitted his guilt and he apologized.
The video footage would have just done that.
He said, I have watched the video and yes, I did throw an elbow into his head. I'm sorry. And they said, you're a good boy. Take 2 weeks off, whatever
and
it was.
The thing is, he didn't even need to do that. Like, Ross Byrne was already falling over his fucking head over arse. Like,
it is up there with one of the dumbest cards I've seen or dumbest acts I've seen. Like, it's
like he was lining it up from a while back. Like,
Levanini territory. You're just like,
oh, it's in that territory where you're going. What the fuck are you doing?
What I liked about Di Flanagan is he called it out afterwards in the post match conference. He was like, he was like, he wants to be a top end player, but that's not good enough. He was like, it's so poor what he's just done. Like, and you're just like,
yeah, of course you want to smile.
This is what I mean. Like, as in, do you know sometimes when coaches are asked about incidents on the pitch, oh, I haven't seen the video back yet, or yeah, we might have another look. Literally was like, that is not good enough. And like,
the thing is, like, I get it with Basham. You want to smash Ross Byrne. Of course you do. Like, maybe leave a little bit extra on him once he's on the ground. But come on.
Legally. A couple of weeks ago, I was down at the Connacht Ospreys game and the off the ball stuff at the bottom of rooks, like, I was looking at it and I was like, I'm never playing this game again. You're all far too rough. Like, this is not nice. Please stop it.
You're lads. Please.
That's
children watching.
It's the dark stuff. Do you know what I mean? You're kind of like,
that's what Munster will be fuming at, actually, from the Ulster game.
Yeah. It's the dark stuff. And it's par for the course, kind of. Like, I'm not saying it's okay, but I'm saying it happens. But going for a charge down, you're never, ever, like, even remotely look like getting, and then just lifting your elbow and just clocking your man in the head.
Look,
it's like, I don't know how to tell you this. There's about 45 cameras on you right now. I don't know how you thought you'd get away with that.
It's like, if you want to scrap, we'll scrap. Obviously, if you're at a breakdown, you're going to get a few shots. You know, you understand that. But this stuff, like, where, you know, the elbow's out and it's just like, you understand there are fucking cameras here, like, fucking stupid. What? I don't think they'll be Ulster. Leinster won't be too concerned, though. I think that they understand they've got a lot of quality to come back in, regardless if this wasn't the best performance they've produced in the last couple of years. It doesn't have to be. They got the job done. They got their bonus point. And that's end of the story, basically, on that.
Yeah, I think so, too. Will we look at the quickly?
Let's fucking do it. Let's run through.
Okay. So first up, we take them in order, I suppose, because that's probably the best way to go. We have Ulster Lions. So when people are listening to this, it's happening in about 10 hours time. Friday night, Ulster versus Lions. It says 4th v. 12th. I wouldn't buy too much into the whole table yet, etc.
Yeah, it's still early enough.
And I know it says Lions, you know, have only won one game, etc., which is fair. But they're scoring tries at the same time. They're not doing too badly. Don't get me wrong. I still firmly believe that Ulster are going to win this game. Just looking at the Lions' form, They might be 1-1 last three, six, seven. They've lost four games by a total of 9 points.
So yeah, like I actually think they're a decent side. I think they've got a lot of troublesome size in their team that if you get into a slugfest with them, they'll kind of deceptively kind of kick the shit out of you in a way you wouldn't really expect.
Yeah.
They've got that quality there. But I still expect Ulster to win. But that will be a tricky enough game for a spell, I feel.
Yeah, I do think it's a really good game for Jake Flannery to boss, just because of the physicality. I think that's going to be included in the game. I think that he's been coming in and out a lot for the last little while, even including preseason. Like, you know, he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. I know Byrne started there the last week, but to see Flannery in again, it's something I think we talked about an awful lot over the last couple of seasons. Probably something every Ulster fan has talked about a lot over the last couple of seasons, is the fact that it was Billy Byrne playing all the ball. It seemed at some stages there last year, even if Billy Byrne only had one leg, that he was going to continue to play and he was going to be the 10 that was selected for that game. But I said earlier today, maybe there's a change in the guard. Maybe I jumped the gun a little bit on that one. But I mean, to see the fact that Ulster are already selecting different tens for games, it's a huge change to last year already. Like, and I genuinely say that Flannery has already played more in the regular season this season, and this is just top of my head, than he probably had for the senior Ulster side all of last year put together.
I'd say so. I would agree.
And for those of you who've been listening to me ramble on for the last 2 minutes, it's because Tom decided to take a phone call there during this podcast, so I just had to continue talking. I feel like I covered it well, but I'm calling him out for it. Who does that? But it is. It's good to see that rotation in at 10. For some reason, a little bit of me thinks that Doak is nailed on at scrum half, though. I think he will be the scrum half. It kind of happened the latter in the last season where he was the starter and Cooney on the bench, and
makes sense.
It does. And I think we will see it continue that way for the rest of the season as well. But it's good to see him start.
Yeah, I'm thinking a strong Ulster win here.
I think an Ulster win. I think an Ulster win, yeah. I think that's fair enough, to be honest. Right, we'll move on, shall we? Are we previewing more of the Ulster game? We have to leave it at that.
I think we've done it. I think we've previewed.
Okay. I think we've
previewed hard. We're hitting and running here.
Yeah, actually, do you know what? It's 20-10 on a Thursday night. Connacht away to South Africa. They have the Sharks up first. Sharks.
I'm going to go with a sneaky Connacht win here. Because yes. The woe is infesting the Sharks.
Yes.
The Sharks are swimming in woe-infested waters.
Yeah. They're in a bad place right now. Now, they're at home, etc. But I like Connacht in South Africa.
Yeah, you do. No, you have. They've let you down, but you still like them. But I think they actually will win. I think they actually will win this game, though. I think the Sharks are in a rotten place at the moment. Just feels like that they're just making. They can't get anything to spark for them. They started well enough against Munster, but it's gone to fucking shit since. So they're just in a rough enough place. So I think that they're traveling back down as well this week. So yeah. There's no real advantage there. I'm going to go with Connacht. I think they're the more cohesive of the groups of those two teams right now, and they're more likely to get the win, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think even though that loss to Edinburgh was a bit of a gut punch, it's they're still in a much better place. Like, they're not 16.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Next game then, we have Munster Stormers in Thomond, Saturday afternoon. I think I'm going to go for a Munster win here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with a Munster win too. I think the Stormers, I think a lot of the South African teams are struggling on the road, I think. Now, I still think this game will be relatively close, but I think that Munster they'll bring back a few guys from the Test Arena, I think. And I think that they will have a little bit too much for the Stormers on this occasion. I think the Stormers are a good side, but a few issues I saw in the last couple of weeks where they seem a little bit more beatable at the moment than they did last year. But Munster will need to bring their A game. They can't perform like they did against Ulster, because that will not fly in this game against the Stormers. So I think last week, the review they've had, they're going to be in a fairly hectic place to come in and try and rectify that this week.
Yeah,
I think they can. I think they will win off the back of it as well then.
And finally then, we have Leinster versus the Scarlets. And considering all four Welsh teams lost last week, and considering between the four teams so far this season, they are 4 out of 16 games, I'm going to go with the Leinster win. I'm like,
you got a big Leinster, a hefty Leinster win, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Like,
I don't see any other outcome, to be honest.
No. No, 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 no.
It's at the RDS, right?
It's at home, yeah.
I would be fucking stunned if they don't have that game wrapped up by 50 minutes.
50 for me is being kind.
50.
I genuinely think
I'm trying to be kind.
No, I think half an hour, like, I'm just being realistic, I think, more than anything. I think if you turn on that game Saturday night at, let's say you turn it on at 8 o'clock, 8:05, and they're 30 minutes into the game, and you don't see Leinster are a good 20 at least points ahead, I'd be shocked. Scarlets are actually doing okay here.
I'd be shocked if that was the case.
That's sadly, I suppose, the state of where the Welsh teams are at the moment.
They're at a low ebb.
It's not this is the worst part. Like, it's not even a lack of effort. Like, do you know? It's
trying their hardest, but this is ultimately a game of resources, and they don't have a whole load of those at the moment.
Yeah. So yeah, I think
go with a heavy Leinster win.
Is that four provinces? We went for all four, didn't we?
We're going with all four.
Easy one to keep track of, I suppose. Was wrong about Connacht last week. Thanks, Ben Healy.
I was wrong about
Munster as well. Yeah. Jesus, I did not have a good week.
Thanks, Ulster.
Thanks, Leinster, for playing Dragons and getting that win at least. Even a dead cat bounces. I have to be right sometime. Okay, I think that's it. So just like the intro, we are now at the outro. Do you want to do it? Will I do it?
Thank you very much for joining us on Provincial State of Mind. We'll be back next week. Chat again.
I can't find the stop button.